Order.
Question time, and moving right along from rapists to hypocrites and liars. Which are the more unparliamentary? A question opened up by this one for the Minister of Finance, Bill English, from his Labour shadow, Grant Robertson.
Does he think that his employment policies are a success? And if he was to go ahead and say that, wouldn't that make him a liar and a hypocrite?
Order. No, I'm not going to allow that question.
The Speaker, David Carter, asked Mr. Robertson if he wanted to rephrase his question, an offer that Labour's finance spokesman rejected.
No, point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Point of order, Grant Robertson.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday in this House you made a very specific ruling about what was and what wasn't unparliamentary language, and I've phrased my question carefully to fit within what you said yesterday was acceptable in terms of parliamentary language.
Well,
the Speaker disagreed.
You raised your point of order after the Prime Minister had finished. If those members want to protect sex offenders, rapists and murderers, go ahead. I'm not going to. Now, I don't find anything unparliamentary in that, but to imply that a member of this House is a liar and a hypocrite, I do find unparliamentary.
The Speaker then heard from Mr. English, who wasn't interested in semantics.
It's a long-standing convention in this House that those terms, which the member used, have always been ruled out, no matter what the circumstances or context. And it would be a drastic departure from convention in this House if suddenly, on the basis of that sort of specious argument, they're now regarded as parliamentary.
Stepping around the likely chaos in the debating chamber, if hypocrite and liar were legitimate terms of abuse, Mr. Carter reviewed the story so far.
When I look back at the offensive remarks on Tuesday, those remarks were, you back racist.
Close.
A rapist, I apologise. That implies that we all did, including me. In fact, it was addressed to me more than to members. That should have been addressed at the time. I should have addressed it at the time. Other members should also have addressed it at the time. No one did. So we've got to move past that situation. This one I'm addressing at the time.
But Grant Robertson wanted to be sure that he understood.
Just for absolute clarity, for my sake, the second statement that the Prime Minister made, which was when I did take my point of view on Tuesday, when he said, if members want to protect, et cetera, then go ahead. For you, that is acceptable, and that's not an unparliamentary piece of language. Can I just clarify?
That's exactly what I've said.
So why was my question unacceptable then?
Because of the terms you used, but I've
explained
it.
The terms I used,
yeah.
Okay.
So does the member want to ask a further supplementary?
Yeah, why not? Supplementary question,
Grant Robertson.
Why does he think it is acceptable?
Now to the committee rooms with Rhys Lyon.
The Commerce Committee's annual review of Crown Fibre Holdings, which manages the rollout of ultra-fast broadband in New Zealand, saw Crown Fibre's chief executive, Graham Mitchell, outlining a number of centres where the broadband rollout was ahead of schedule.
So this year we'll have Hamilton, Tauranga and New Plymouth completed ahead of schedule. Greymouth and Masterton have just been completed ahead of schedule. Whangarei was completed ahead of schedule. Whanganui was completed ahead of schedule. Cambridge, Te Aramutu, Tokoroa, Timaru, Ashburton, Blenheim, they've all been completed ahead of schedule.
Mr. Mitchell said when the rollout was complete, New Zealand would be a world leader in broadband connectivity.
We're probably going to be ranked third in the OECD behind Japan and South Korea. And Japan and South Korea have a lot of what they call fibre to the basement, where they put the fibre into the basement of a high-rise apartment building and then use the existing copper in the building. In New Zealand, we're actually taking fibre all the way to the end customer. So in relation to what they call fibre to the end customer, we'll probably be the OECD leader in relation to coverage. So we will be number one in the OECD on that metric.
And one of the main beneficiaries of the broadband rollout had been schools.
Schools now are nearly all connected in the UFB initiative. And what we've seen there is quite dramatic improvements. The first school we connected is Manaia View in Whangarei. Whangarei now has every school connected to fibre.
And that wasn't the only success story out of Whangarei.
We connected one of the Marais there, so they actually built a little computer clubhouse on the site. And how do you know it's successful? Just before they built that, the graffiti was right up and onto the Marais. Since that's been built, there's no graffiti within 2 miles of the Marais. So I think these are really good sort of social outcomes. And the fibre is just a facilitator of that, it's how you build on it. But there are some very, very compelling success stories out there.
Crown Fibre Holdings Chief Executive Graham Mitchell speaking to the Commerce Committee.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is made with funding from Parliament.